Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Late Night is on hiatus this week, but today on the podcast, you'll hear Seth's interview with actor Sebastian Stan from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, then his interview with Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman. Now, let's get to the show.
Our guest is a talented actor you know from his work on the Captain America and Avengers movies. He returns as Bucky Barnes in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is available exclusively on Disney+. Please welcome to the show, Sebastian Stan. Thanks for being here, Sebastian.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me.
I feel like there were two things we were all very desperate for over the last year, vaccines and new Marvel content, and it feels like they're dovetailing together very nicely.
Yes, yes. Perfect timing for both of us, I guess.
So I have to ask, when you and your co-star Anthony Mackie, this was first presented to you, was it surprising? Did you know this project was coming?
No, we didn't. We just both knew we were going to stick around in some capacity, you know, because we were alive at the end of Endgame. But then we had both gotten called in, unbeknownst to us, you know, for a meeting. And, you know, we had separate meetings, but then I ran into him at this hotel in L.A., and I didn't know he was in L.A. And he, like, looked at me funny, and I looked at him funny, and we sort of started to kind of piece the puzzle together that maybe we were there for the same reason, you know.
One of the puzzles anybody in show business has had to piece together this year is how to shoot during COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
You were in the middle of it. You were going to Prague last
March.
It's
very difficult with Anthony because he's a close talker. So, you know, the aspect of social distance for him is a difficult thing. But,
right,
yeah, we were in Prague.
It's like a normal 6 feet, but it's like an Anthony 12 feet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So you flew to Prague. This was, I guess, last year before everything shut down. And I will say, I tip my cap. Early on, you were taking this very serious. That's you on an airplane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thank God Fox News reported on it at the time, you know. But we did because we didn't know what to expect, and I had my best friend with me who's a worse hypochondriac than I was, and we just kept piling things on and going. I mean, where do we stop with this thing? And you know, it was my first picture of this hashtag we were trying out called Bucky Takes Europe, which of course led to only 3 posts and a birthday that happened a few days later. And then we were sent back.
I heard you were actually celebrating Bucky's 106th birthday when you found out that everything was shut down.
Yep. Yeah, we were, we decided to find one of the most authentic, you know, places in Prague to go and have dinner with, and it was a crowded place. And we thought it was funny at the time. And then it led to me meeting about 35 waiters and hugging them and taking selfies with them. And then 10 minutes later, we got a call. We were supposed to get on a plane. So I felt really good about how I spent that night, more at risk than ever.
Now, I have to ask, you know, obviously you're not Bucky's age yet, but you have been playing this character for 10 years. Is it harder? Do you find the recovery harder from the intense action sequences that they put your character through?
Yes. Well, it's usually by the end of the press tour, so you get closer and closer to the age. But yeah, I mean, I think we both take quite a lot of Advil, you know, and there's definitely some ice packs. But you know, it's just we got to get Anthony off the ground a lot more.
That's right. It's very nice how I feel like you have a lot of empathy for Anthony. It's really sweet that you're sharing that with us today.
I do, you know, but it's sort of something you have to live with. It's like a disease that you're just going to have to live with. But we kind of know each other well, and we have a good rapport, and somehow they decided to give us a show, to have more. So it's been a privilege.
You came back from Prague when everything got shut down in New York City. I know that you had lived here before. You were an actor here in New York City. What was it like for you last spring being in a city that obviously we all know is much more vibrant than it was then?
Well, it was really strange. I mean, because, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. And so everything felt out of place. And, you know, I think the emptiness of the streets. But I went full on like the Aviator DiCaprio OCD. Like I was taking my clothes off and like, you know, in my hallway and running them to the washing machine and then washing every little thing in the sink. And it was really weird, but I had this old lady, across the street from me who every day, every night at 7 PM would come out, just blast Frank Sinatra, you know, and then everybody else would come out and just sort of join in. And that moments like that just feel kind of that they surpass all of time.
I always like asking anybody who was young living in New York, especially actors, what their early apartments were like. Did you have any doozies back in your day?
It was, I'll say exactly where it was. It was at 323 West 42nd Street, right across from Port Authority.
Great area. Beautiful.
Yeah, but we were in Times Square, so, you know, we felt lucky. Yeah, but
how many roommates were you rocking back then?
Well, I had one official roommate that paid the rent with me, and then we had all of our Rutgers friends kind of like just hop off the bus, cross the street, and then crash with us, you know. But it was, I don't know, you everything about that was romantic at the time, or that's what we said. That's what we said to ourselves until you walked outside, you know.
Yeah. You would also, I'm sure, say it to girls. Yeah. Like, you want to see something romantic? You've never seen romance till you've seen the Port Authority at night.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that will definitely shake things up.
It's like the one neighborhood they just haven't tried giving a cute name to. Like, they're like, no. Well, we got a one-bedroom in Porthor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always, you know, what it is. But in a way, you know, there was something grounding about it. And it's like, you walk out in New York City, you know, you always just... life greets you and it kind of, you know, puts you reminds you of the right things, I guess.
I think you're right about that. And congrats on the show. It's so exciting to watch. And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, man. Absolutely. Thanks so much. I'll see you.
New episodes of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier are available on Fridays exclusively on Disney Plus.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guests tonight are two very talented actors of stage and screen. You know her from the iconic sitcom Will and Grace and him from NBC's Parks and Recreation. They star in the animated series The Great North, which airs Sunday nights on Fox. Please welcome back to the show Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman. How are you?
Good. Hello.
The Liz and Dick of today.
Yeah, which one is the Liz is my question.
That's for you guys to decide. We're not going to tell you how to live your marriage.
That's what makes it more modern. I actually love the Liz and Dick reference. I think it's so amazing. I've used Lent and Fontan, so you tell your writer that he's on the cutting edge compared to me.
Oh, the person who wrote that's way too old to be a writer.
Did that not come from Shoemaker?
It was Shoemaker, yeah. That was absolutely, a producer came up with that. That's what we call people too old to write. Now, Nick, you were actually the last time we had an audience here. You were with us. You were here on March 11th. So it is lovely to see you again, albeit under far worse circumstances.
You too. It was very strange. We were uncomfortably like laughing and touching elbows. Like,
yeah.
I guess this is going to be a real thing.
Yeah, I feel like the last day any of us did shows, we would not look back on proudly of like, ah, ha, ha, elbows, this will be over tomorrow. And then it was like, get out of the city. Now, you guys are back out. You're working, which is very exciting. You're doing an animated show, which I know you can do from home. That is not, of course, all you're doing. And I want to ask real quick, are you happy with the way you've been animated on this show? That's you, Nick.
I am. I mean, for, you know, anyone who's worn a flannel coat that's wool on the outside and shearling on the inside would tell you that's clearly a slimming outfit.
So. Yes.
And I look like Cher, so, and there's never anything bad about that.
No, absolutely. I think they both did very well by you. This is very exciting, Megan. You are going to be doing Anything Goes in London, correct?
Yes. You know, God willing and the COVID don't rise, or that's really terrible. And that's on television now, but that's fine. Yes.
Thanks, I'm
supposed
Shoemaker.
Yeah, he wrote that.
Yeah.
He wrote that. I'm supposed to go over there and do Anything Goes. So it's supposed to open at the end of July, and I'm taking tap classes. I'm learning all the tap choreography, so I've been tapping my troubles away.
And now, do you do all the tap out of the house, or is Nick sort of, okay, so there's no, like, tapping in the home?
No, it's an empty dance studio, and it's me and this woman who's teaching it to me, and it's pretty fun, I have to say.
You guys met on stage. I of course, knew that, Nick, I knew you were doing stuff in Chicago, but you had just come out to L.A., and you guys were in a play together. Was it love at first sight?
Well, we have kind of two versions of this. For me, Megan says yes, for me it was love at first sight. But I was living in someone's dirt basement, and Megan had just finished her first two seasons of Will and Grace. So we were in such different places that I had like crazy Prince and the Pauper, like Princess and the Pea. I had a real class struggle. I had to get through 2 weeks of like inoculation to sort of realize that Megan was all, that I was a human like Megan. Because I really like placed her so high on a pedestal. So I had the feelings. I was like, oh my God, are we sparking? Is this canoodling? But I was like, no, it can't be. She's like a professional actress. But eventually, it worked out.
Did he ask you for your number, Megan?
Oh, he had called. The number I gave out to everybody on the call sheet was my fax number, because I didn't want creeps like this to have my number, you know? So I didn't know that he'd left a message on my fax machine asking me to go out and hear this cowboy band until 2 weeks later. So for 2 weeks, he thought he'd been completely iced. But then I finally heard it, and yeah. it was his dulcet tones, because he really does have a good speaking voice, except when he's in character.
Did he? And did you have to sort of introduce him to the finer points of society?
Oh God! The first time we went to a restaurant, he tucked his napkin into the bib of his overalls.
Which is how it's done. That's how Jed Clampett did it on Beverly Hillbillies. Like,
and he turned out fine.
if you're working class and you end up in Los Angeles at a fancy dinner, you tuck your napkin into your collar.
You guys, you also have a podcast called In Bed with Nick and Megan. Now, I have always found you guys to be a couple that is very happy to share the innermost details of your relationship. Have you found any boundaries that you haven't wanted to cross yet, or is it the same as it always was, even in podcast form?
I mean, that's pretty full on. Because the thing is that no matter how much we say about our relationship, nobody really knows. You know, they don't know.
This is fascinating to me. Megan, you found, because you say that, and I think that's true, but you actually found old letters of your mother's. And so this is actually, you're actually finding out more than anyone, I think, most normal people ever find out about their family.
It's kind of unbelievable, really. I mean, I have found giant bins packed with letters written to my mother, like love letters written to my mother. I mean, I'm talking about like 750 letters just from guys. And then another giant bin that of letters written to my father. So they saved everything. And so I have love letters written to my father, and I have all the letters from his mother and his father and his brother and sister. And I just found them. So that's what I'm doing like full time every day is reading these.
Were they a passionate couple, your parents?
Well, it's before they knew each other.
Gotcha.
So it's all things that were written to them before they knew each other.
That's fascinating.
It's kind of unbelievable.
It's crazy, and it's pretty also embarrassing for us in that, because this is before, obviously, texting, but even before you comfortably would call someone on the phone. And so this is just the correspondence of like people in their late teens and early 20s. And even the dumb ones are so like well written, and there's an erudition that's like, oh my God, this is us being like, oh my God, did you see Scooby-Doo? And these people are writing about like the war effort.
It's all wartime also. But it's very humanizing because, you know, everybody, you always think like people back then didn't have emotions like we do. Of course they did, but also there's some hot goss. I mean, the hot goss quotient is off the charts. And there's a couple of kind of like shocking, you know, there's a letter to my father from this like real floozy, and there's this really disgusting letter that my father wrote to a guy friend and never mailed that's so gross.
Oh my God. I mean, it's bad enough finding letters that your parents wrote, but the ones that even they knew they shouldn't send.
Totally.
They say really satisfying things like, I'm going to come see you this weekend and we are going to get tight.
It is always a delight to lay eyes on you both. Thank you so much for making time for us. And I do hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks, Seth.
Let's
you
do
too.
It. Let's do it in person.
That sounds like a deal. The Great North airs Sundays on Fox.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.